at the 2020 CUNA GAC in lovely Washington, D.C. And look who is in the studio lounge. Filene Research Institute is representing. We have Taylor Nelms right over here, and then Dr. Lisa Servon. Is that how I pronounce your name?
You did.
Yay, I got it right. And you are the like one of the newest Filene Fellows, correct?
I am.
Congratulations.
I'll be, leading the Center for Excellence in Consumer Financial Lives in Transition. Very excited
about
that.
Yeah, very cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And welcome aboard, as they say.
Thank you.
So, hey, we're talking, before we get into the topic at hand, and there's George. George is here too, spreading out the marketing materials over there on the table. How's the conference going so far? I know it just...
Look,
oh, wow.
Straight from George.
Hot off the press.
The new asterisk. I think there might be even free here. But
really?
You have to, yeah, but there's a limited supply. So
okay, get them now.
Get your butt over here.
Exactly.
Get them while they're hot.
You heard it here.
Yep.
So speaking of which, how's the conference going for you guys so far?
We're just starting. Just getting kicked off. Yeah. We just came out of the Filene Chairs Breakfast where Lisa was the keynote speaker.
Wow. So you're already
Good crowd.
Yes. Wow.
Early.
Bright and early.
It was an early wake up call. I think it was still dark outside when
yes,
my alarm went off.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too for sure. So how did that go? I mean, I'm sure it was packed.
You know, I think, I'll let you sort of talk about your experience, but, you know, one thing that I was really struck by was how engaged folks were in the topic
at
hand.
That's the word I was going to use.
Yeah. People really, they have questions to ask. In a room of 400 or 450 people, mm-hmm. people were asking questions, really
good.
Detailed
That's
questions.
What you want. That's what you want for sure.
Yeah, which is great. People seem to be hungry for this research mm-hmm. and wanting to see how it can apply to the work that they're doing on mm-hmm. the ground, which is exactly what we want.
And speaking of the research, we're going to be talking about research on community economic development, financial well-being, cooperative banking, and alternative financial services, and sharing what opportunities exist for credit unions in these spaces. Mm-hmm. So give us lay the foundation here. What are we talking about, and then how do credit union, what's the credit union connection?
Sure. So I think the reason that I was probably chosen to lead the center is that I've done a lot of research on why people choose to use alternative institutions like check cashers and payday loan lenders and pawn shops instead of banks or credit unions, or in addition to those things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I found through my research is that the use of those things often happen when people are at this moment of transition. They've gone from being healthy to having an unexpected medical expense. They had a stable job that came with a salary and benefits, and now they're working 3 part-time jobs. And so that's what kind of moves them away. And so in this center, we really want to understand the challenges and the way people are managing them on the ground, in the hope that perhaps credit unions can develop products and services and ways of working mm-hmm. with people that will help them smooth the impact of those transitions.
Right. And so what exactly are you researching here? I mean, is it just obviously the effects, the cause and effect, I guess, of this? And then where do credit unions hop in here? Because obviously credit unions want to provide a way better service than a payday lender will do at any time.
Yeah, Taylor? Well, I think that the Center for Consumer Financial Lives in Transition, I think one key thing to remember is it's a longitudinal research project, so it's long term. So we're starting now and it'll unfold over the course of the next 4 years. And we'll be digging into a whole range of questions around transitions, right? How those impact consumers' financial health, how they impact their relationship with their financial services mm-hmm. providers, writ large, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. thinking about everything from the check casher down the street to the fintech, provider to the bank or the credit union,
mm-hmm.
To try to understand what opportunities there are for credit unions to be able to support people in those moments of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to provide some broader context too, mm-hmm. I think, to those life cycle transitions, planned mm-hmm. and unplanned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the big trends that are shaping consumer demand mm-hmm. for financial services?
And now I'm going to ask you the why. Why are you guys doing this? Obviously, I mean, I think we all know the answer, but I just want to get your take on it. Why are you guys embarking on this research?
Well, I think it's a moment, really, in the kind of financial and economic landscape mm-hmm. where these kind of broader economic trends are creating a situation of financial precarity for a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's declining wages, it's an increase in income volatility, meaning the ability to which people can predict how mm-hmm. much money is coming into their household,
mm-hmm.
and a change in the extent to which both the public sector and employers are taking care of people
right.
in terms of giving them benefits
mm-hmm.
and medical care, etc. So we're seeing all of those trends affect people in a way that they feel like they're on shakier ground financially. And so, and we're actually going to be looking deeply into three areas. So we have these planned kind of transitions that we'll look at. Transitions like I graduated college and now I'm becoming a grown-up and I need to figure out how to get a credit card and balance my budget. Or you know, I'm retiring. These are things that people plan for, but that changes their financial situation. But they're also, we're also seeing an increase in unplanned transitions like a medical expense or condition, right, that that really changes because they don't have the extensive insurance that people used to have. It's throwing them for a financial loop. Or increasingly involvement in the criminal justice system and people either going through a reentry process or their families trying to manage the debt that comes along with that. And so it's really a confluence of factors that have created this financial instability and then all of these things that are happening to make people even less stable. And so that's the why, is to recognize these things that used to be perhaps not as common are being really common. Not just for lower income people, but increasingly for middle class people. And clearly there are financial institutions that want to make the situation better.
Yeah, I've known like people who've gotten into medical, I mean, there's like a cancer or something like that. I mean, it just saps your entire financial well-being.
Right, and for mentally people who are living kind of on the edge too, even smaller kinds of medical expenses or auto expenses or anything else,
urgent
care can really set off a whole chain reaction that, you know, sends them into a state of financial
instability. There's some crazy stat now that where, I don't know, I think Jim Nussle actually talked about it yesterday when he was here, that, you know, people can't even, there's a huge percentage of people that don't even have enough in their savings to buy a new refrigerator or if the tires go out on the car.
A third of Americans,
you guys know this,
don't have access to $400 without selling something or borrowing, right? There are, I mean, we could go on and on about the number of stats. There's a majority of Americans who live paycheck to paycheck. That one that, you know, always strikes me. Income volatility, the amount of difference in wages that people have or income that people have month to month has doubled over the past 30 years. And people are shouldering more and more of the risks of participating in the economy, right? Whether that's benefits or otherwise, than they have in the past. So it really is a moment of structural, secular change in the economy that is changing the ways that people live day to day and the ways that they're engaging with their financial services providers. So there's real opportunity, I think, for credit unions in a few ways. So first of all, I think it's critical always for credit unions to sort of keep their, you know, two fingers kind of on the pulse of the economy to be able to understand who their members are and what's driving them to engage and what kinds of needs specifically they have in financial services. I also think that it's really important for credit unions to be able to narrow their focus to be able to understand who their specific members are, right? Not who the U.S. population is. I think that tells us something, but really to get into their memberships, right? Like, who are they serving specifically, and what are their particular needs? And I think Lisa's approach in this center to be able to focus on the transition is really critical, right? Because it provides a point of intervention for credit unions that can provide for, you know, great success, not just for the credit union, but for individuals to support them in that moment of change. So I think that that's a shift in mindset from this kind of, you know, let's think about segments or let's think about populations. So let's think about those moments of transition, I think is really important.
Indeed, indeed. Lisa, anything to add there?
I think that's exactly right. You know, just the ability to drill down on these things that are becoming more commonplace and figure out how they impact people on the ground.
All right, now for the when. When can we see something, because you've really piqued my interest now, because I think this is a huge issue in our country that not a lot of people are talking about, but you guys obviously are, because you guys are living it, so you guys live in this world. So when can we see some results or that type of stuff?
Well, we just started,
okay.
But the good news is that I had a couple of projects that were sort of incubating that seemed to fit this theme really well. You know, it takes a little while to do research and get it out, but I would say certainly we'll get some things out in the next year.
Okay, perfect.
Probably
in
the first thing within the next 3-4 months.
So what we'll be doing, so we're launching the Center for Consumer Financial Lives in Transition today.
Oh, hey.
Thanks to supporters like, thanks to supporters like CUNY Mutual Group, PSCU, BCU, and DCU, who are the four organizations that stepped up to financially support this center. So we're launching today, and then we'll be starting to do the research right away. Like Lisa said, we have a couple of projects already on deck, and we'll have a kind of broad overview concept paper that'll be coming out in the next 3 to 5 months.
Will there be, like, I know the Big Bright Minds, you guys always have some... I mean, the content at that conference is second to none, but I'm sure you'll have some updates at that conference as
Absolutely.
On this stuff,
and we'll see if we can't get Lisa there to deliver them
in person.
Dallas.
Be there.
Yeah.
You got to go to Big
You'll
D.
You'll be there, right,
of
Mike?
Of course. Are you kidding me? I don't want to miss it.
Great. Is there going to be a mechanical bull?
I mean, why not?
I mean, yeah.
Make your requests now.
If there's a mechanical bull, we're there.
We're there. A little barbecue. Actually, I'd rather have the barbecue.
Barbecue may be more than the bull.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Good.
To wrap up here, guys, let's get back on track. Mechanical bulls. We could go there. We could
it's
go.
It's a good
all
metaphor
there.
For financial instability and
company.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Nice segue there, Taylor.
People getting thrown off the bull every day.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. We're on a roll here, ladies and gentlemen. So where can we find out more information? Obviously, go to Filene.org.
www.filene.org, okay. And you'll be able to see, starting today, I think, some of the insights from
I'm excited. I really can't wait to see the results and what you guys are finding on this. And then, equally important, how credit unions can dive in and help out as well.
So absolutely. I mean, I think it's really important at Filene for us to be able to not only do the basic research, right, and that's unique in the credit union space, our partnerships with academics like Dr. Savone to be able to provide that kind of, you know, rigor and truth around the research, but then to be able to take those insights and provide the scaffolding to be able to put them into action, right, in credit unions.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you guys do
that's
excellent work, as always. So thank you guys for stopping by. I know you guys have a full buffet schedule here for sure. Everybody does, so I appreciate the time as always.
Thank
Lisa,
you.
Nice to meet you.
Very great to meet you as well.
Yeah, look forward to some big stuff from you guys, all right? Taylor,
Mike,
always
thank
a pleasure,
you so much,
sir.
As always.
Always
Take
an
care.
Education.
Great.
These guys.